Sure. It's like, you know, the thing is, people think to themselves, well, drinking made easy doesn't make any sense. I mean,
right.
I open a beer, I drink it.
Right.
What's
right.
so tough about it?
Right.
Well, analyzing it
right.
is a completely different story.
Right.
You
and,
know,
and appreciating it, too.
Sure. Because drinking or alcohol, it's a lot like sex, right? Think about it.
Not if you're doing it right.
Yeah, but well, yeah. But they don't have a show called Fucking Made Easy.
Okay.
You know? But because anyone can do it. It's pretty easy. Dogs
right.
can do it
That's
without
true.
Even trying.
You're right. You're right. The drinking part is certainly not the difficult part.
Right.
You're right. It's knowing how to be really good in bed or how to
yeah.
know what it is that you're drinking so that you can, I mean, what are you going to do? Impress your friends? I mean, that's, it's sort of the problem with drinking is that the more that you know, you run the risk of your standards increasing. I guess it's the same as sex.
Yeah, you're like the Dr. Ruth of beer.
Yes, thank
See?
You. That's the first.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to My Life as a Foodie. Got a great show today. We're talking to Zane Lamprey, host of the show Three Sheets, now currently on Spike TV on Tuesdays, as well as another show, Drinking Made Easy, which can be seen on HDNet on Wednesdays. So if you're at home, stop whatever you're doing, including listening to this podcast. Go to your DVR. Get a season pass to both of these shows. You will thank me later. For those of you who don't know who Zane is or what his shows are about, here it is in a nutshell. Zane and his crew go to different countries around the world, explore their cultures and different types of alcoholic drinks that they produce, explore their food, and they do all of this with a greater sense of humor and purpose than any other travel show on television. Greater than No Reservations, Bizarre Foods, Samantha Brown, although Zane in a bikini, I'm not sure that holds a candle to her. Any travel show on TV that focuses on food and drink, I think this is the best show. It's half an hour, not an hour, so there's no fluff. If you're a beer geek, there is no reason that you should be missing this show. He's been to Belgium, Germany, all over America, England, everywhere great beer is made. His approach is extremely simple. He learns with you. He doesn't take himself seriously. There are no pretenses. He's genuinely one of the good guys. I'm on my way to his home right now to talk about the struggle that his show, Three Sheets, has faced, how one of the greatest travel shows on television has found itself orphaned three times, and how hard he's working now to continue to see that it has life. It's currently on Spike. Hopefully, it will stay there. Before we get there, however, I want to share some clips of his show with you to give you an idea of what makes Three Sheets what it is. This is Three Sheets.
What is it?
It's a goat.
Goat?
Goat.
Yeah.
This is the udder of goat.
Is it raw?
Yeah, the udder of goat.
The udder of a goat?
Yeah.
I wish you wouldn't have told me that part. Okay.
Hey!
Hey, are you
coming?
Sonny?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Zane. I came to drink with you.
Sonny is a friend of Qua and Ben, my buddies from the Broiled Goat Inn. And he's no stranger to drinking with Americans.
Can I take my shoes off?
Okay, whatever you want.
During the Vietnam conflict, he fought and drank alongside our troops, which earned him a medal and 18 months in a re-education camp once the North Vietnamese took over.
And rock and roll, buddy. Here.
Okay, come
show
in,
me
please.
How we're gonna
here.
Have some drinks here.
Yeah, we have.
Look at this. You have a little feast set up?
Yeah.
Sonny's wife laid out quite a spread of local favorites. Some shrimp, spring rolls, sushi and such.
What is that?
Fried fish.
Fried fish?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a little guppy.
Yeah, just a little.
Poor thing.
Unfortunately, his wife had to split, and that's a party foul. One strike against this being a Be Ahoy worthy party. This is Brian, the Glenfiddich guy, and he's lined up three different samples. First, the clear stuff.
If we were to put this in an oak cask,
okay,
and mature it here for 3 years, then we could call it a single malt Scotch whiskey.
Okay.
But because this is hours old, as it comes off the still, at the moment, this is immature spirit, new spirit.
I can drink it?
If you wish.
Oh, wow. Oh, so that's 126 proof, isn't it?
Yes.
I guess you can just taste the malted barley
mm-hmm.
and quite a bit of alcohol.
Significant amount of alcohol. I'm pleased you picked that up.
All right, so this is haggis. I don't know if it's just me, but in the States, people talk about haggis. They're like, you're going to go to Scotland, you're going to have haggis? Oh, God. I think it's the inside of a stomach and thrown into a big, giant sausage, and it's disgusting.
Hi, I'm Zane Lamprey. We're just finishing up our tour of Belgium, and in this episode, I drank chocolate beer. I had a beer that was 22 proof, and I drank a shot of something that was made up of Brussels sprouts. It was really gross, and I threw up a lot.
Hey, Zane, thanks for joining us today, man.
Well, I had no choice. Bobby Bogner said that he would do something bad to me if I didn't.
Yeah, that's true. And listen,
who's Bobby Bogner?
I don't know, but you know what? You named him twice already.
Okay.
You so name dropped him twice.
So we're done.
No, we're not done.
I'm not name dropping Bobby Bogner, first of all. That would get me nowhere.
With Bobby Bogner.
It would get me someplace with Bobby Bogner and no one else.
I'll tell you, Eli, I did an interview with Nathan once, and he said, you know, it was a great interview. He just didn't talk about me enough. So I make sure to do that. I'm sure that you get this question all the time, so I'm not going to ask it.
You're going to ask me my favorite place to drink or my favorite drink?
No.
Or if you can be my assistant on the road. Those are the top three.
Those are the top three?
Or how's your liver? Those are the fun ones.
How is your liver?
I'm not a doctor. I have no
idea. Let's take it out and look. So, no, the question is that I thought you got asked more often, but I guess you don't, is that when they see you on TV and they see what you do and they want to know, do you pinch yourself every day when you wake up? I'm the luckiest guy in the world to have this job.
Yeah, all right. So
I'm not asking that question, though.
Well, you're posing it as a statement.
No, what I'm going to ask you is, when you get that question, do you just feel like telling them, if you think it's that easy, you try it. Try making an entertainment for 30 minutes.
You know, I tell you what. I tried that honest approach back at doing Three Sheets like year one. Or season one, and I was just, you know, like, you have the best job in the world. It's everything, you know, it's like everything is roses, you know? And you're just like, well, I mean, there's a lot of traveling. There's like, and the thing is the bottom line is I travel around the world and drink. So that is my job. And my job is to do what most people consider a leisure time activity. And I have, and I have more access when I go places.
Right.
You know, it's a great job as far as a job's concerned. And there's downside to everything. But I mean, what's the downside, really? I mean, I fly around first class and stay in nice hotels and people pick me up and then they make me go out and party with them. I mean, it's not really that bad.
But you're under pressure to bring the funny every time.
I have an on switch, you know, and when you pressed record, my on switch went on. So I'm on right now.
Okay.
And when I'm traveling or when I'm shooting, I'm on. But when I'm off, I'm off. And I have the ability to turn that on switch on.
That is true, man, because when I walked in here, you were incredibly dull.
I was dull and kind of rude.
Yeah, exactly.
And off-putting.
Very good. Can we do this outside?
Yeah, can we just do it? Yeah, do it real quick. Make it a minute. And, you know, I can stay on as long as I need to stay on, but when I'm off.
Oh, wonderful. And who is it? Bobby Bogner.
Is it Bobby Bogner?
Here's Bobby Bogner. Just message me, has Zane been a dick yet? That's the message.
We were just talking about
Bobby.
Of course he didn't call, so he can't be on speakerphone.
Nice. Well done, Bobby. And guess what? I'm going to turn my phone off. I should have done that anyway. See what a professional I am?
And then we can edit it. You know, I guess the bottom line is that, you know, I do travel around the world and do what people consider a leisure time activity. So I am traveling around, drinking, learning about drinking, and everything is sort of laid out for me. I mean, and it's the access that I get. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't necessarily be able to go in and talk to the owner of this distillery or this winery.
Right, because people think that they can do that.
Right. Yeah. I hope I'm not trying to, I hope I don't sell that as part of the show. Because, you know, like going to South Africa and going to, you know, one of the largest wineries there and having the guy take 2 hours to explain to me all the nuances of wine as we're sitting outside of his mansion is not necessarily something that the general public would get. So, I mean, it is a great job. I mean, the Washington Post said the other day that I might be the luckiest guy in America or whatever. And it's just go, you know, or have the best job or whatever it is. And they compare me to Stanley Tucci because I thought that was funny because Stanley Tucci has a wine show on PBS. And it's like, well, okay, that's cool. But don't compare me to Stanley Tucci and his wine show. He just got paid like $2 million to be in Captain America for a week.
Right.
That's a good job.
Yeah.
And you know, he's, you know, they, you know, like they call them plays because people are playing. And when you're acting, I know that it's serious and I know it's a lot of work, but it's fun. Just like what I'm doing is fun. So, you know, do I have a great job? Yes, I have a great job. It's, you know, would I trade Stanley Tucci in a moment? Yes, I would.
Right.
Not for his PBS show, but for his movies. So there's a lot of people out there that are making a lot more money. But if everyone got paid the same amount, This might be one of the better jobs.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, of all the travel shows that deal with food and drink,
yeah,
and I'm not saying this because I'm here, I think yours is the most entertaining.
I appreciate that, and I mean, bluntly, I agree with you. I mean,
you cram it in 22 minutes?
Well, yeah, they were 26 when they were on Mojo, but then when they went to Fine Living Network, they cut them down to 22. So then you're seeing the 22-minute episodes of Three Sheets on Spike, and then Drinking Made Easy is about 24 to 25 minutes.
So the hour-long shows, like No Reservations,
yeah,
Samantha Brown,
yeah,
all the other shows, yeah, Bizarre Foods, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And half of that is crap. I mean, I don't tune into a food and drink show to see the host go skydiving. You know,
right.
You don't tune in Anthony Bourdain to watch him flying out of a plane.
Well, you know, I mean, they're right that what they're selling to some degree is a lifestyle. You need to relate to that host. You need to do fun things so that you understand how this host reacts in different situations, so that when they're giving you their opinion on food, that you understand whose opinion it is that you're getting. If Bourdain is a thrill seeker and he's a bit of a nut, you know, mm-hmm, then okay, I understand where his criticisms are coming from, or his opinions of food are coming from, as
right,
opposed to Samantha Brown, which might be the antithesis of Bourdain,
right,
and she'll, you know, give her take, and you can understand how they could both present the same food in a different way.
Well, with her show, you're just sitting around waiting for her to get in the bikini.
I think, yeah, so.
Now, sooner or later, you know what's going to happen.
By yourself, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I'm not alone then.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's get down to your show.
Okay.
It's now on Spike TV.
Right.
Three Sheets on Spike.
It's Three Sheets on Spike and Drinking Made Easy on
HDNet.
Yeah.
On Spike on Tuesdays.
Yes.
HDNet on Wednesdays.
Wednesdays, exactly.
It's great going up against Glee on Tuesdays. Now it gives the guys something to watch.
I know.
Did you think about that?
I don't watch a lot of TV. The TV that I watch is stuff that I TiVo, so I don't really even realize what day things are on. I just know I go sit down and click onto my TiVo and go, oh, look, I have some of The Office, you know,
right,
from 2 weeks, whatever.
Got it.
So, yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, it's, I don't want to go up against Thursday, you know?
Sure, exactly.
But
I was going to say, what's next? You going to do another show and have it run on Thursday?
I'm just happy that Drinking Made Easy and Three Sheets don't compete against each other, but... yeah, I think they have good spots. They have good spots. I mean, I think Fine Living was airing them on like Fridays or Saturdays. And,
right,
you know, the idea was that, oh, you sort of pre-funk by watching, you know, me go around and do my things. But I think it's more one of those things to do on a day when you don't, you know, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are days which you really don't have things going on. So you want to have like a mini sort of adventure,
right,
so you can live vicariously through what we're doing on the screen.
You sure as hell don't want to get up on Sundays at 5 o'clock. I mean, who the hell's watching TV then?
Right. They were airing, I think, Travel Channel. I don't know when Travel Channel was airing Three Sheets.
Travel Channel mucked the whole thing up, and I'm going to get to that.
Yes, they did. You want to get to that right now?
Actually, I want to get to this.
Okay.
Getting back to where I said I thought your show was one of the most entertaining, if not the most entertaining
travel
show.
Did I say thank you yet?
Yeah, you did, and thank you. And you're welcome.
Thank you.
Given that, it's just a shame that it was homeless. That it's been orphaned more than once.
I thought it was weird at first, but I do understand, you know, I'm also a businessman. I understand the business around it. I understand that you are selling a product. Anytime you have a show, you are selling a product. Your product is that show. And so you need to get advertisers and sponsors involved in that. Mm. And it's a little bit hairy to have someone who travels around the world and drinks for a living and has the possibility of overindulging in an episode. There's some episodes where it's a little more mellow, and then there's some episodes that are, you know, he's going to talk. Seamus!
Zane, you have a cat?
Yes.
Dude. You went up three notches in my book.
I went up three notches in your book and down in other people's.
Oh, man.
And he's very talkative.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, there's a cat in the house.
It's actually an ocelot. You can see by the spots on it. I stole it when I was actually traveling in Africa.
You stole that cat?
I stole it from nature.
Oh, okay, yeah, right. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah, nice.
What were we talking about before the ocelot walked across the room?
We were talking about how it was weird that you thought at first it was just kind of funny that it got orphaned, but then it happened again, and then it happened again.
Right, so I was talking about how I was a businessman, and then my ADD kicked in when the cat walked across
the
room.
Right, that's me too.
So, I mean, you need to sell sponsors on your show, and I understand that alcohol, it's a new sort of... Now the cat's walking across your soundboard.
Nice.
You know, alcohol has been very... People have been tiptoeing around it for a long time. Thirsty Traveler, some wine shows. Don't press the space bar on the actual keyboard. Of course. Anything he can touch and break, he will.
That's fine.
So, you know, Thirsty Traveler and some other wine shows and some PBS shows and stuff, I've been very respectful of alcohol, usually, you know, in with wine and then beer and spirits and stuff like that. But they're very careful not to indulge themselves and certainly not overindulge themselves.
Sure, right.
And when I come along and that's what I'm about having a good time. And really, the drinks are sort of secondary to the fun that's around it, the right. personality of the program. So, you know, it's just, I think that really this is the first show about drinking that has had fun with it.
Sure.
And brought a sense of humor to it. And I think that, you know, especially 4 years ago when we started Mojo, which was a high def channel that's not on anymore, that I think people, you know, they were the only network to put us on because they really didn't, you know, have a lot of sponsors and they could afford to take those risks.
Right.
Then when it goes to Fine Living Network and then the travel thing, which we'll talk about in a second, I think they were a little more resistant. And then of course Spike, you know, we're sandwiched between A Thousand Ways to Die and Mansers. It's a nice fit because it's like, okay, you're about to see some very edgy programming.
Right.
Everyone knows what they're getting themselves into. Three Sheets falls in the middle of it. It's not nearly as edgy as the shows that it's flanked by. But,
sure.
But, you know.
But it fits in.
But it fits in. And, I, you know, and really, you know, when the show went off the air the first time, or rather the network went off the air, but the show survived, then we went to Fine Living and the same exact thing happened. You know, I would have Three Sheets rallies. I'm very active in social media and on my website, and I think that people slowly have let down their guard, and this means networks and sponsors and everything, so that they can be more accepting of this genre, which is a genre. It's just we're in the beginning of the genre right now, so we don't really see it as a genre. We see it as a show or two shows.
Right. So when it gets orphaned, Mojo goes down. You've got season 4 in the can.
Correct.
Looking for a home.
Correct.
Scripps, who owns Fine Living.
Right.
Who also owns Food Network.
Right.
Who had given you a show previously.
Right.
They come to bat.
Right.
And they take it.
And they take it and they ran with it and they were so happy about it. And they jumped in on the social media and everything that I was doing and wanted me to be involved. The same way that Mojo was, but they were so excited. And then what could go wrong? They're about to order a fifth season. What could go wrong? You know, the show's not going to get canceled. The network certainly is not going to get canceled.
Right.
And then I get the call from the head of the network. I got some bad news. We're the network's shutting down. We're turning into Cooking Channel in about 2 months. So it's like, oh, God, again?
Really?
But now, you know, to be honest, you know, FLN was not of that big of a network.
No one was watching it.
No one really saw that show. And so, you know, the most exposure that I've gotten through Three Sheets is Hulu. Hulu has gotten over 3 million views. And, you know, and that's actually as of a year ago. So Hulu is by far where most people see it because you can share it with your friend. Hey, this is a great show, whatever. And then you send it to your friend.
Right.
Because you certainly can't say, before you couldn't say, check it out on Mojo because most people didn't get it. You couldn't say, check it out on Fine Living Network because most people didn't get
but
it.
But Hulu, everybody gets.
But Hulu.
If you've got a web browser, you can get Hulu.
Exactly. So that's where it always sort of lived so that when we were fighting for it, it was always there. You know, it
right.
wasn't like, what is this show? It's like, oh, I want to see this show on a larger screen. You know, that's basically it.
Travel Channel was maybe, I thought, the best fit, but if there was a second, it was definitely Spike because
right.
your demographic is right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, when Fine Living went off the air and turned into Cooking Channel, they at the same time were acquiring Travel Channel. So it's like, oh, this is amazing. I don't want to end up on Cooking Channel.
Right.
I want to end up on Travel Channel because of the exposure of it. And so, you know, we actually, this is funny, that I was asked not to talk about a while ago, but we basically, this wasn't me. I was on tour at the time. And I remember I was actually in Atlanta, sort of in the middle of my tour, shooting Drinking Made Easy and doing my stand-up every night.
Let me ask you, am I going to have to cut this out?
No.
Okay,
you can talk about this now? Okay. By all means.
All right.
I don't believe, you know, someone can say don't say something, and I won't say something until I decide to say it. But, you know, just like they said, don't tell anyone it's going to be on Spike.
It's
okay.
Like Howard Stern has all these celebrity friends that go, just between me and you. Okay, yeah. Next thing you know, next day he's on a show talking about it.
If I can't talk about something, I'll just tell Steve, and then I'll let Steve talk about it.
Steve let the bag.
Steve, yeah, and if you look on my Wikipedia, you'll see that he actually did. And so I get the call from Fine Living Network that was going out, and they the one of the people over in charge over there said, hey, you know, Travel Channel's Facebook has been getting just destroyed by Three Sheets fans. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I went and looked at it. I'm like, oh my God, this is unreal. Like 95% of the posts were about Three Sheets. It'd be like, hey, go watch our show about golf. And they'd be like, F golf. We want, well, we, you know, go save Zane. Three Sheets. And so they literally, not only like on the wall, but even answering their new shows. And they were so frustrated that they called me. It was like, call off your minion. And I'm like, well, it's not, I have nothing. I didn't even know this was happening. And wow. They said, well, you know, the advice was, you know, go and, you know, tell people to relax a little bit because Travel Channel is considering the show and I think it'd be a good idea. And I'm like, well, wait a second. I'm now on your radar and Travel Channel's radar so that you guys are saying you guys are getting so much attention for Three Sheets for me to call my people off. That doesn't make sense.
Not for
I didn't
you.
Initiate it, but I'm not going to call it off.
Sure.
This is, you know, this is my world right now. Everyone else is just living in it. And that goes for everyone else listening that, you know, it's our perspective of the world. And I'm right. Like, that doesn't help me out. That doesn't suit me.
No.
And so, and I told him that. And he goes, well, I don't think that's the right decision. So then I believe I had a call with the head of Travel who was like, you know, we're gonna take a chance at Three Sheets. And so
by showing reruns.
Showing the reruns, you know, of season 4, which especially like a year and a half ago, most people hadn't seen. They, you know, I announced it. The chatter on their Facebook page went from 95% to 5%. And like people backed off and everyone was just very excited and no one was hostile about it. And then they said, you know, I talked to someone else at Travel and they said, we don't want to do any promotion for it. We just want to put it out there and see how it does. Okay. So I talked to my publicist about that and she goes, okay, well, I'm going to do something. She's like, this is what you pay me for, you know? So we talked about it and,
right.
And we're like, hey, why don't we call up Maui Brewing Company that actually was featured in season 4 of Three Sheets and see if they want to do something where we can send Travel Channel beer to thank them. And so called it Maui Broom Company, which we had a great relationship with. And they
make really good beer.
And they make some great beers. So we had beer. So we had all the fans go on through PayPal and buy either a beer, a six-pack, a 12-pack, or a case. And about 3,000 beers were purchased.
Oh, wow.
To be sent to Maryland for the Travel Channel head offices. Then they ran into a little bit of a snag, and they couldn't ship that much, not having a distributor or whatever it was, so they could only ship 700 beers, but that's
a lot of beer.
That's a lot of beers, and
a lot of good beer.
It is. What is that? It's like that's probably about 35, 36 cases of
probably
beer.
A lot of their beer comes in 4-packs too. So
yes, of these cans, exactly. Right. And so the beer was sent. The rest of the money went to this children's charity called the Art of. I always pronounce it right.
Dude, they sent beer to a children's charity?
No, they sent the money.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't send have the beer.
Say here, kids, have some beer.
What is the Art of?
Yeah, it's got coconut in it.
I want to say Art of Asylum. I'm saying it wrong, and I should know this, but anyway, please look it up on my website.
Okay.
So the
ZaneLamprey.com.
Yeah, thank you. And so we sent the beer. No word from Travel. Sent some emails. No word from Travel.
Are you kidding me?
Then they sent us an email saying we thought we were clear in saying that we didn't want to do any promotion for the show. Like, you got really? Is this,
why would
you
they not
want to
promote
me?
A show?
Especially if we're doing it and you know, spending the money and the resources to do it. It seemed like something sending 3,000 beers to them would be amazing. Now the funny thing is that I was about a week away from having the fans send bananas to the network
to tell them they're bananas.
To tell them that they're bananas. So they're lucky. They almost ended up with crates of rotten bananas, but. But they did come out and they aired it. They didn't promote it. They kept changing the time slot, as far as I understood. And so it no one knew where to get it. And I think they aired it for maybe about 4 or 5 weeks. And then they said it wasn't rating well, and they took it off.
And they sent you a fish wrapped in a metal jacket.
They sent could they have
Three Sheets sleeps with the fishes?
They should have at least sent me the beer, beer. And so then there we were, and it's just like, wow. So what to do now? So at that point, I was already working with Mark Cuban, and I said, Mark, save this show. And he's like, I wanted the show years ago.
Right.
And so they made some phone calls, and the response was, someone else has made a bid. So Mark's like, okay, what's the bid and who is it? And they said, well, we can't say. We've, you know, whatever reason they can't say. And he's like, well, you won't tell me what the counteroffer is, then I guess I'll walk away. And they're like, okay. And it was just like...
Mark Cuban, they wouldn't even give him a figure?
They wouldn't even give him a figure to come back with. And so he's like, okay, screw it. And then I was like, oh, man, I hope like some internet company didn't buy it. And now it's going to be on the web or something like that. And then sure. And then someone... I put my email out to everybody. It's ZaneLamprey@gmail.com. And not that's not the email you have. Right. But I said... So people email me stuff all the time. I probably get 100, 200 emails a day. And so someone was said, you know, you... My friend works at Spike. He's a producer there. And he told me that they just bought 3 sheets. I'm like, no. But then I'm like, I'm going to run with it. I'm going to put that on my website, my blog, and blog about it to get web traffic to my site and whatever. Right. Then it was like it started to look real. And then someone at Spike's like wouldn't comment. It's like, well, what do you mean you won't comment? So what are you not commenting about? You either bought it or you didn't buy it.
Right.
To not comment, this isn't a court of law. You don't comment. If you don't have anything to say, then you said a mouthful, right?
Sure.
So my agent called up and he's like, you were right. So sure enough, they did buy it. They asked me to sit on it for about a month and a half to 2 months, in which I hinted at it, but I never flat out came out and said it. So, you know, it just premiered. And we're waiting on the ratings to see how it did. But you can never go off the ratings for the first week. You got to see how it rates for several weeks.
Right.
And if it does well, then they have definitely started talking about a season 5. So
there is talk of you shooting another season.
By all means, talk. I mean, you know, it's funny. It was like, okay, we did save 3 sheets. It's on the air. Most people haven't seen the show. I mean, we listed the networks that it was on. Most people haven't seen it. And so it is new to most people, but the people that have seen it, you know, have seen 3 sheets, have seen most of the episodes, and so they were a little disappointed to find out that it wasn't a new episode. I hadn't watched it in a long time, the chili episode, and I watched it last night. I thought it was funny.
It was very funny.
I liked it. That guy Maverick, his name is Christian, but Maverick, he wanted us to call him just for fun, was one of the best personalities we had on that show. He completely got my sense of humor.
Right.
The sarcasm was just, you know, it was amazing. So that was a great episode. That was fun.
Good experience.
Yeah, definitely good experience.
In 2007, you did a show on the Food Network called Half Fork Will Travel.
I did.
It ran 13 episodes.
Yep.
And when it came out, Bourdain was interviewed in the Washington Post.
Yes.
And they asked him what he thought of it.
Yes.
Can I read the quote?
I would love it.
Okay, here's what Bourdain said about it. They hired a comedian to go around the world making fun of people's accents. I caught 15 minutes of the show. He described bouillabaisse as really fishy fish. It's like hiring Roberto Benigni, very slapstick. How many cultures can you offend in one series? It's unspeakably awful.
It's awesome.
Isn't that great to hear?
Yes, yes. Here's
Bourdain acts like he invented the genre.
Well, here's where it kind of came from. He had left them at... around that time, and they wanted to slide someone into the spot. And they, at the time, the person who was there, who'd left by the time 3 Sheets ended up there,
right,
was a big fan of 3 Sheets. And he said, we want 3 Sheets, but with food. Okay. So I'm not an uneducated person, but I go into these situations I don't want to go into the situation knowing exactly what it's about. Now, I understand that's what Tony does, right? He goes, he researches it so that he understands what it is he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
My approach in 3 Sheets has been to go into the situation knowing very little so that I'm organically learning as it goes on.
So you're a sponge and you're also teaching your audience at the same time.
Right, because if I'm learning, if someone says something, I'm like, really? Explain that. I don't want to have already known that information and then either not touch on it.
Or give your opinion of it.
Or give my opinion. Or me start to, like, you know, to when we talked about Pisco Sours last night. I didn't want to in 3 Sheets. I didn't want to have to be the one talking. I wanted the person who I was interviewing, who works with them, serves them, and lives in Chile, to talk about them.
Right.
And especially his comparison to Grappa and then to Pisco from Peru. And so what they asked for is what we gave them in Half Fork Will Travel. I knew very little. I mean, I had my research information. I skimmed it. I didn't want to know too much intentionally because I wanted it to have that real feel.
Right.
We did really well for, I think, the New York Times, Us Weekly, Entertainment Weekly. We got really great reviews. But then when it came on the network, it was the foodies that were just like not really – they weren't feeling it because – you know, here's a guy that knows less than us. Basically, that was their sort of
that's the idea.
I mean, maybe not on the Food Network. You know,
okay.
I mean, they like to have experts, and even if they didn't know, even if they knew as much as me, they wanted me to know 10 times as much and go in there and profess of why bouillabaisse is what it is. I didn't know what bouillabaisse was. I could have easily looked it up and gone in and known, you know, 5 pages on bouillabaisse, the history of it. I could have known easily more than the person who was teaching me, but I didn't want it to be that way. And so when they take, I mean, whole fish and throw them into a pot, make a reduction out of that, then they skim it into another pot, and then they reduce it again. Yeah. I mean, they're basically extracting the water from it and just concentrating the fish. So it really is fishy stew, you know what I mean?
But isn't that the goal of these shows, to educate people?
Yeah.
I mean, this is how we learn.
Right, and that's my method, you know what I mean? My method that worked for me. I could easily do what it is that Bourdain does. I could do the research and go in there, but that's not what they said that they wanted. And
you wouldn't be true to yourself if you did that.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Now, by the way, that didn't I was not affected when by that part of his quote. What kind of pissed me off was actually, I think it really pissed me off at the time, but it was funny because when I saw it, we were both shooting in Hawaii on the same island. I'm like,
oh man,
let me find this guy.
Oh, that would have been a great episode.
I know. I think it was off camera that I wanted to talk to him.
Right.
But you know, it was that okay. I think I know what he's talking about because if he watched the first episode, that was in Marseille, and we were in France, and I went to this couple's house.
Well, you were in his sweet spots where you were.
Well, yes, but here's the thing. I was at this guy's or this couple's house. These two guys, and they have a cooking school, and I went there. I went there at probably about 3 o'clock. I left there at about 2 a.m. because we prepared the whole dinner. We drank. We ate the dinner. We had dessert. We drank and had wine. And so we were sitting there I was with these people for 12 hours.
Man.
And we had so many inside jokes. We were making fun of each other and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, he was saying, oh, just pour a little bit of a dash of salt. I go, tonton, whatever. And I go, is that an actual measurement, the tonton? I go, tonton. And he thought it was funny, and it was funny. And we had, you know, there was other things in the show that were like that. Like, he knows. Bourdain knows that when you go into a situation, you shoot for 2 to 5 hours to get 2 to 5 minutes of a show.
Right.
So don't judge me or judge what I'm doing by the 5 minutes that you see.
Sure.
Which seems to me like what he did, you know. And for him to say that that's what I'm doing, it is preposterous. And so I wasn't necessarily that affected by it. But, you know, the other thing was that they, you know, put my show in the spot that it was his before, and so I can understand that there's some animosity to it, you know, but I don't know.
Well, I have to kind of wonder if Bourdain didn't have something to do with you not ending up on the Travel Channel for season 4.
I asked somebody at Travel Channel, and they said that said he doesn't have the pull that you'd think that he does. He's not necessarily the friendliest guy, and it's not like everybody's around to please him. So that's what I got from somebody over there, because I was like, you know, I don't want him to influence it. I can't imagine that he would be that manipulative. I mean, what does he care about?
Or vindictive, yeah.
But if it was another cooking show or something just like his, that's fine, but it was a drinking show. So it wasn't even the show that he was criticizing, but I can't imagine that he would be that vindictive to do something like that. So, you know, you talk to people that know him on a first-person basis, you know, like people that are friends with him and they like him, you know. Mm-hmm. I just think when it gets into business and stuff, I mean, did he say something rude about me? Yeah, I mean, you know, and I had to make a decision. Do I come out and criticize him? You know, there's certainly a lot you can say about him.
Or let it slide.
But
you took the high road.
I took the high road. I just, you know, I'd take the low road if I thought it would get me further, but sure. I don't think it would. I'd rather get there on my own merits than by, you know, being known for having some sort of squabble with him.
Right. Well, do you think...
And he's old, so I could probably take him with one hand tied behind my back.
Oh, sure, absolutely. you think you'd ever do a food-centric show again?
Sure, I loved it.
That didn't ruin it for you, did it?
No, I love doing that show. And if anyone ever gets a chance to see it, I don't know where they could see it now, but I watched one the other day. I had a DVD of it, and I like it.
It was a great show.
It was a fine show. It was very real. It was about the people, you know. Again, that was one of the other things. It was really about the people and the comedy. And you know, when we by the time it started to air, the person who had brought it to Food Network had left. And so another person had taken over, sort of overseeing it, and he had a different vision than it was the original vision. They only wanted jokes that had to do with food, not just like just jokes.
Just regular jokes.
Which is an interesting sort of note to get. But yeah, I definitely had a really good time shooting it. It was a lot of work that year because I was shooting – I probably shot 36 episodes of TV that year, and it was a lot of traveling, and it was pretty relentless. But I liked it. I definitely gained some weight that year, but I liked it. And you know, food and drink go very closely together, and
people are interested in it.
And people were interested in it, and I'm interested in it. And I think that's what it comes down to. People ask me, what was I doing before Three Sheets that qualified me to do that show? And I was hosting, you know, I was, you know, emceeing and stuff. I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't a bartender with all this great knowledge. I'm just somebody who likes to learn about new stuff.
Right.
It could have easily been a show about cars or home improvement, but it just happened to be a show about drinking, and I'm happy there was.
I think a lot of times your innocence going into situations, not knowing.
Right.
You know, that's the most compelling part of what you do.
I agree with you. I mean, I go in, I'm just a regular person, and I'm not this expert. And even though I've written a book on it and shot 75 episodes, you know, about drinking,
right,
I don't go into that situation as an expert. I go in as a novice. Teach me from your perspective. You know, everybody is the expert on what it is that they make.
Right.
If I go in to meet a distiller or a sommelier or a bartender, you're teaching me to drink. I'm not teaching you to drink. So you show me why and you tell me why, and let's have fun doing it. So,
sure. What's the difference between Three Sheets and Drinking Made Easy, outside of the fact that Drinking Made Easy is focused only on the United States?
Yeah, I mean, Three Sheets, the thing is, if you go in any foreign culture, everyone you meet is going to be a little bit different than the people you meet in the U.S. And the drinks, you know, you could go to Lithuania, and everything you're going to drink in Lithuania, you know, from the spirits to the wine to the beers, are unique to us.
Right.
And so it's much easier to find unique stuff. And then it's a lot of it is about the people and meeting, you know, and the camaraderie. And, you know, if you take the Chile episode, I met this guy, and then him and I went to another bar, and then I went, you know, the next morning to do this. And Drinking Made Easy is really, the goal is to make drinking easy. And it's funny because it's a bit of a joke, but, you know, we're just trying to sort of demystify some of the things that people put in their mouths, you know,
right.
Like wine, you know, we can get very intimidated by the wine list. If you watch season one of Drinking Made Easy, you'll have a better understanding of wine.
Right.
The same thing with craft beer. What is beer? What is Pilsner? What is a lager? What is a stout? You know, the same thing. And then the same thing with spirits. And I got to say, like, you know, certainly going into Three Sheets, I didn't know the difference between distillation, fermentation, infusion. You know, I didn't know any of that stuff.
Right.
And now I get it. And it's very basic. They're basic principles, but there's so many different variations to it. It can get very intimidating. And so that's sort of what we're trying to do is, you know, we say Drinking Made Easy. We're just trying to let people know what it is they're drinking. And also, you know, don't be afraid to have a cocktail party at your house,
right,
and make some stuff. It's not that difficult, and we'll show you how easy it is. It's just that all these different ingredients, and you look at the back of a bar and there's hundreds of bottles. And they say, you know, what drink do you want? You're like, I don't know. There's so many options. But if there were two bottles, you could decide very easily. So,
sure. It's like, you know, the thing is, people think to themselves, well, Drinking Made Easy doesn't make any sense. I mean,
right,
I open a beer, I drink it.
Right.
What's so tough about it?
Right.
Well, analyzing it,
right,
is a completely different story.
Right.
You
and,
know,
and appreciating it, too.
Sure. Because drinking or alcohol, it's a lot like sex, right? Think about it.
Not if you're doing it right.
Yeah, well, yeah. But they don't have a show called Fucking Made Easy.
Okay.
You know? Because anyone can do it. It's pretty easy. Dogs
right.
can do it
That's
without
true.
Even trying.
You're right. You're right. The drinking part is certainly not the difficult part.
Right.
You're right. It's knowing how to be really good in bed, or how to
yeah.
know what it is that you're drinking so that you can – I mean, what are you going to do? Impress your friends? I mean, it's sort of the problem with drinking is that – the more that you know, you run the risk of your standards increasing. I guess it's the same as sex.
Yeah, you're like the Dr. Ruth of beer.
Yes, thank you. That's the first.
All right.
I mean, it's like you know, if you like wine, I like red wine. Okay, boom, you go out and get red wine, you're happy. Then you start to know you like Merlot. Okay. Then you start to learn you like a certain year from a certain vintage from a certain place from a certain country. And then all of a sudden, you've turned this, you know, really a decent $15 bottle of wine into a $50 bottle of wine.
Sure,
so
yeah.
You can have problems with that.
That's awesome. Do you ever get any kind of hate mail or bad messages from companies like or organizations like MAD?
No.
Anti-drinking organizations?
No. I mean... It's interesting. We don't really have the time in each of the episodes to say, don't be an idiot. You know, be a grown up, be an adult. If you're going to drink, you know, make arrangements for a safe transit, you know, yeah, afterwards.
Be responsible.
I mean, yeah, well, they say responsible drinking. I think that drinking and driving is what they're talking about. But like, you know, we never do that. I mean, we had a bus carrying us around to the show. We never drank to the point where we were stumbling around or doing anything incredibly stupid. I mean, you know, we're not inventing drinking. You know, we're not ever going out into someplace and saying, hey, you know, let's come up with a way to do something, you know, and drink a giant fishbowl. We're going to someplace that has a fishbowl and saying, what is it and what's in it and why do you make it?
Right.
So, you know, it's, I think people can see it like that. The most aggressive mail that I've ever received is in the last week
from Bobby?
From Bobby Bogner.
Yeah.
Oh, three.
There you go.
And it was about the Pisco Sour and the fact that the Pisco Sour originated in Peru. Okay. But I said on these promos for Spike, we're gonna go to Chile and learn about Pisco Sours. So I have so many people of Peruvian descent, I'm assuming, emailing me, or Facebook or whatever, and telling me that I should do my homework. I'm misrepresenting. I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, some were actually downright mean, and some were just like, hey, buddy, get a clue.
You know, they're really protective. A lot of countries are very protective of stuff. My friend did we did a video together. He made paella.
Okay.
And we posted it on YouTube. He got so much hate mail from that. Telling him, that's not paella. That's not how you make paella. Take this video down. You're giving everyone the wrong idea.
It's amazing. You see? Yeah, but the thing is, they were judging that after they saw that.
Sure.
These people were judging it before the episode ever aired.
Oh, they didn't even see it yet.
They hadn't seen it because they were telling us, oh, you know, it's Peru, whatever. If you watch the episode, we talk about how it came from Peru. But the Pisco Sour is, fact, the national cocktail of Chile.
Any idea? Do you know how many different countries you've been to, including the United States? I have a number. I actually did.
Really?
I did it, yeah. Take a guess.
Well, here I have a question. I think it's probably...
I'm not counting multiple trips because you went to Hamburg and you went to Berlin.
Right.
So that's one Germany. For Germany.
Then I think it's probably 40.
45.
45.
Including United States.
Now, what if I count...
And Canada.
What if I count the fact that I took a train from Germany to Croatia and I got off the train in Austria? Does that count?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe you have to stay overnight.
Did you shoot in Croatia?
No.
Did you shoot in Austria?
Oh, yeah, we shot in Croatia, but not Austria.
Austria.
And then, of course, when you're traveling through... So we figured this out because the crew, but when you travel from Croatia, from the top of Croatia to the bottom, you have to pass through... I don't want to say it right.
Luxembourg?
It's like Herzegovina, Slovenia, Herzegovina, oh. Something like that. So you have to travel through one of those countries. So we added that on, but... 45. I'll take 45.
45.
That's good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Of all those countries, which one would you most want to go back to?
America.
Of course.
End.
I knew you were going to say that.
I like, if I could go someplace right now, I probably would go to Moorea, this island off the coast of Tahiti. Can you blame me?
Wow. That's way out there.
Or Hawaii. I mean, I love going to these European countries and exploring and stuff like that. I loved the Asian countries. I loved going to Russia. New Zealand was absolutely amazing. But there's just nothing really compares to sitting on a beach and doing nothing.
Oh, right, exactly.
So, but as far as like alcohol-wise is concerned, there's definitely a lot of those countries that have follow-up episodes that are required. I mean, you know, we did do Ireland. We did Galway. But we really need to do Dublin. We did champagne, we did cognac, but we really needed to do Paris, you know?
Right.
And we did Tuscany and we did Venice, but we really needed to do Rome. So, you know, and of course we never did mainland China, And we did New Zealand, but we never went to Australia. There's a few more seasons left in us.
Oh, sure, of course.
Yeah. So,
you know, the day I knew that there was no way I would ever want to try to fill your shoes, or that maybe most people should rethink this whole thing, was when you went to Tanzania.
Yeah, you know,
that was rough, dude.
Now, see, people pay $5,000-$10,000 to go to Tanzania and do what it is that I did.
I mean, that was Black Hawk Down.
Well, I mean, as far as the
like in the village with the people with the bones in their nose and stuff. I mean, that's like, that's not South Central Los Angeles. That's...
No, but you know, we went to this camp. We landed right in Tanzania, right at the base of Mount Kilimanjaro, and we stayed in a hotel there at night because you're not supposed to drive at night for whatever reason. And I can think of a few. And then we drove about 3 hours to this guy's camp, and he has this camp that we stayed at, and then the Maasai village was like half a mile, a quarter of a mile away from his camp. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like we're going in the middle of nowhere. And then you go outside of his camp, outside the fences, and there's elephants and giraffes and everything. And it was amazing. The only issue was that I had I flew from LA to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Johannesburg, Johannesburg to Tanzania, and landed and shot the next day. Ugh. That was the only thing that was rough about that place.
Right.
If it was
that, and you had to get like 8 shots before you could go.
Yeah, I did have to get. I had to probably get about 12 shots, but I got them. I got 12 inoculations, but I got them in about 6 shots. And the funny thing is that the I told someone about it, and they're like, "Yeah, well, when you went back the second day for the second round," I'm like, "No, I got them in one day." They're like, "You got all 6 shots in one day?" I'm like, "Yeah. Right here in my arm." And they're like, "You got them all in the same arm? That's so dumb and dangerous." This clinic that I went to, they apparently didn't know. And the lady, when she gave me the shots, from when she entered the room to when she left the room, didn't say a word to me.
She didn't say a word to you?
No, it was right here in L.A. It was just wonderful. Clinic. Yeah, it was weird. But when I found out that what we'd be getting ourselves into, I said, we have to shoot this. So we shot me getting those shots, which I thought was funny.
I'm going to play a clip. Can I play a clip?
Yes.
This is something that you drank. And you're describing the whole drink.
Okay.
Listen to this.
Here's a quick demo. Warm water, then honey taken straight from the hive.
Is it the bees in it? Little pieces of bee?
The bee is in, yes.
Then they dip the tips of aloe vera roots into ash and place those roots in a bucket, where they also add hot embers from the fire.
Ow!
In 3 to 4 days, this will be ready to drink.
That looks nasty.
And gotorogi. Here's the only issue that I had with that, and that is when we arrived at our camp, I saw where the Maasai village was, and I saw that there was a creek running past it. And the Maasai are nomadic. They don't have plumbing. They have, you know, they've been there for a while, but generally it's saw as temporary housing, and it's made of dung.
Hmm.
And so they didn't have running water. They did everything they needed to do. They did in the stream, from washing clothes to showering to anything they had, and their drinking water. So I'm up for adventure. The only thing is, I can't take myself out of commission while I'm in Tanzania, because then I can't finish the episode.
Right.
So I mean, that happened actually, and when I ate something in Bangkok, I had 2 days down, which I couldn't shoot anything.
That stuff looked like it tasted like feet.
This stuff, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. It sort of tasted like turned orange juice.
Okay.
Which
tastes awesome.
Which
by the way.
Tastes awesome, yeah. Exactly. Which tastes like grapefruit juice. So it wasn't that bad. I was just really afraid that I was going to get sick. And I didn't mind drinking it. It was just the fact that, like, you know, I told the producer, I'm like, if I drink this and I get sick, I don't know what we're going to do about it. And he's like, let's just figure it out. Let's go for it. So I did it and I was fine. But I asked them the day before we did it if the water that they used to make it, they can grab from the camp and then boil. And so they did that. And so okay. I was a little bit less apprehensive about drinking it. So actually, I suppose they did it a few days before. So, but they assured me that it was fine. I had my shots. I rolled the dice and I did it.
And you did it.
Something that was actually tasted less appealing was this thing called umumbot.
Yeah, that's the gray stuff.
In Cape Town, in the flats.
That looked like it was made only from ash.
That it tasted like a campfire, and it was supposed to be similar to beer, but it was really rough, and it was rough on my stomach as well. But I didn't get sick. It was just like, wow, this is really ashy.
You could fart smell like liquid smoke.
I was farting smoke. Exactly.
That's brutal. Of all the countries you've been to, which one would you say had the best food?
I think maybe Belgium.
Belgium?
I mean, you know, when I shot Half Fork Will Travel in the south of France, I mean, I was there with a Michelin rated chef. I was there at this place in the country, actually two Michelin star chefs, and then this villa out in the country, and it was just, I mean, the stuff was amazing,
right.
And there was fish on the by the ocean and whatever. But I think overall, I was very surprised by the food in Belgium. It was amazing.
Ooh, yeah, it so looked good.
Yeah, it was good.
Country with the best looking women. Don't say U.S.
Lithuania. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was a surprise.
They had the mobile bar. The girl. Yeah. Yep. Very nice.
Yeah. It was interesting because you didn't expect it. You know, everyone keeps telling you, "Oh my God, when you go to Moscow and so or Prague," and so we're looking for it. Like, what? Okay, just looking around. Like, no, I guess I've not really seen it. But you know, we were there in the fall. We were in Lithuania. We were there like right in the middle of July, height of summer, beautiful weather, amazing. And then everyone's just scantily clad, and you're like, "Holy cow, this is these girls are really all really good looking." So that's the one that stuck in our mind. As far as the crew, we voted on it.
I think one of the coolest things about your show and what you do is the brotherhood. I mean, you get together with some strangers,
yeah,
and all of a sudden you're drinking like your old buddies,
yeah,
and it just goes to show that we can all get along.
Yeah, I mean, the countries should not be represented by the politics, or the politicians. People all really have the same goals and same desires. They want to take care of their families. They want to make enough money to survive. They besides the other basic human desires, they want to be with friends and make friends. And so once you get through the language barriers, or some people are a little apprehensive to talk on camera until they have maybe one drink or something like that, and then they relax a little bit, and then they realize that they're fine. They're not worried about looking silly. I mean, it really is the great equalizer of having a drink.
Sure.
Or two,
right.
Especially in a neutral environment, a bar, a restaurant, someone's house or whatever it is. So once you have a drink, we get there with the camera crew, it's a little intimidating. But then after a drink or two, people realize that I'm only there to make them look good. The crew is amazing. I mean, the crew that we travel with in Three Sheets, actually in Drinking Made Easy, really some of the nicest people. We made some changes very early on with both crews and ended up with a crew that's just like the nicest, most considerate people. And so when people see that, they let their guard down. And when they see that I'm there just to hang out and learn from them, not make fun of them or make fun of their accent or whatever it is
right.
that Bourdain thought that I was doing,
yeah.
They relax. And then we get great, great material from it.
Yeah, it ends up being very, very good.
Yeah.
One last question.
Yes, sir.
Of all the countries you haven't been to, where would you like to go the most?
I haven't been to Australia, and Australia is, I mean, there's at least two, if not three episodes that need to be shot there. We were going to shoot there the first episode of season four, but we couldn't get our visas in time. So New Zealand has much less restrictions on their visas than Australia. You can get a visa in like 7 days for New Zealand, but it takes about a month for Australia. So that'll be one of the first places we go. I mean, I've been to a lot of amazing places, and there's still a lot of amazing places I want to go. But Australia is one of those places that, like, it's amazing we haven't been there yet. And I just feel like I just need to be there.
You'd put it to the top of your list.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so Three Sheets on Spike TV on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays at 10:30.
Drinking Made Easy on HDNet on Wednesdays.
Wednesdays at 8 and 8:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
And basically, as long as they continue to watch the show on Spike,
yeah.
there'll be a chance for a season 5.
And tell their friends.
And tell your friends.
Yeah. And then there's also drinkingmadeeasy.com, which has the episode guides for Three Sheets and Drinking Made Easy. So people want the cocktail recipes. Don't pause your TV. Just go there and
go do it.
Print up our material.
Yeah. You doing any live shows still?
We're going to start shooting. I have a very – we just got back from the Super Bowl, and I go to South Beach to do the Food and Wine Festival, the Food Network thing there. And I don't think Bourdain's going, but Rachel Ray and Guy Fieri are going there. And a bunch of little appearances like that. No live tour. We start the Drinking Made Easy Season 2 in April. And then in the fall, I'll be going back on tour with Steve and my right. band and do some stuff. And Bobby, if he has any control over it.
Sure. Bobby Bogner?
Fucking Bobby.
Love Bobby. On a scale from 1 to 10, how painful was this?
This right here?
Yeah.
What's most painful, 10 or 1?
10 would be the most painful.
5.
5?
You think funny that I had to ask the measuring and I was...
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Politician's answer.
You Zane Lamprey, ZaneLamprey.com. Thanks, man.
You got it, man. Thank you.
My name is Phil. This has been My Life as a Foodie, and we'll see you next time. Uncle Sam taught him to shoot me.